Hello and welcome to Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast starring me, Snoring.
Snorunt.
AKA.
Lots of options here.
Tanner Greenring, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Glaceosh.
Glaceon.
AKA Joshua Fjellsten. And I am joined for the first time by a new guest to the show, whose name is Alonix. Or...
Hey, guys. Yeah, that actually works nice. Really elegantly.
Professor Oka.
Oh, that's good.
Your name is so adaptable to Pokemon puns, Alana.
It really is. In fact, Pokemon and Oaken are, like, not dissimilar now that I think about it.
Alana Oaken, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I have been listening since the beginning. Really stoked about this.
Alana, you and I... And to a degree, Josh used to be co-workers together at a major media company.
This is true.
And it's been years, and we've all gone our separate ways, but Josh and I recalled that you are a elite gamer.
Very elite. Much leader than us.
Josh, I think, co-authored at least one.
At least one, if not two.
Pokemon-themed article for major media company, or was it... Just a video game article.
We collabed on, was it Black and White?
Yeah, so I was trying to remember what generation it was, but it was, I think, Black and White, maybe X and Y? Who knows?
Ooh, it could have been X and Y, yeah.
Do you guys remember what that article was about?
I know that I did one that was about very French things, and so
right. It's
the French one. Which...
That was X and Y.
Which was X and Y.
Yeah. X and Y, yes.
And I feel like we maybe did one that was about... I forget the professor's name that generation, but he was, like, kind of hot, and that was exciting to folks, including me. I'm not sure if you...
It's Professor Daddy.
I'm not sure if you participated in that, Josh.
His name is Professor Daddy?
I think that's how it translated. It's Professor Sycamore. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sycamore.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at those locks.
French for Daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Good-looking dude, Professor Sycamore. But we'll get to that in a few generations, Joshua. For now, we're playing through... Pokemon Platinum, and we are in season 4 of our Pokemon podcast, where we play through each Pokemon game, gym by gym, week by week. Last week, we took on...
Gym Leader Byron.
Yep, in Canalave City.
Byron almost crushed you.
He did.
He almost ended your journey.
This week, we're headed north to the frosty, chill ends of Sinnoh. We ventured north to... the name of the city is
Snow Point.
God, I'm so bad at city names. Snow Point City.
North.
But it was a pretty pretty circuitous route to get there, wasn't it, Joshua?
We had to do a lot of different things that I was not expecting when I set out on this situation.
Before we begin, I would like to check in with Alana. Alana?
Yeah.
What game are you playing?
I'm playing Platinum.
Okay, great. So there's not going to be any confusion. We're all on the same journey this week. How has your journey through Sinnoh been so far?
So I've really loved it to the point where I think that I've played every Pokemon generation, and I really do not have a memory of playing this one. And I'm like, did it slip through the cracks somehow? Is Platinum so distinctly different from, like, Diamond and Pearl that I don't remember it? But I've really enjoyed it. Like, it feels like it's the right level of difficult but not annoying. Like, I think you guys were talking about this previously, but even the fact that it's, like, it's the good experience share, where it's, like, the one that only you, like, give to one Pokemon to hold, as opposed to, like, all your Pokemon leveling up from the minute you get it, which just, like, to me has always made it, like, so easy as to be almost like I love any level Pokemon game, but, like, it's really fun to be able to be like, oh, I really have to be strategic here. So I've had a really good time playing it. I feel like it's super bizarre. Like, everyone has just, like, really intense affectations. Like, your rival just, like, zipping around, like, all the, like, everyone's
just,
like,
a lot of personality.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's just, like, vibing at a way higher frequency than I am when I play, but, like, I'm really enjoying it. It feels like it's got the best elements of, like, a classic Pokemon game. Like, it's not trying to do anything too crazy, but, like, it, I don't know, it's hard enough to feel, like, it's a real, like, worthwhile endeavor, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's true that everyone kind of has a thing in this game. Like, even we've talked about a few of these NPCs, even like that one woman we ran into in Eterna Forest.
The one who just, like, follows you the whole time.
Like... Who's, like, named and has, like, a really robust sprite.
Cheryl.
Yeah, Cheryl.
Cheryl.
And then, like, Crasher Wake is such a character. And
I mean,
even,
what a name. Like, you couldn't even make that name up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have, like, you had Mira, who was just randomly in Wayward Cave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, who you escort around. Like, the escort missions where they have, like, actual personalities and they make you do the double battles is cool.
And the clowns. Oh, so
Yo,
many clowns.
Clowns, Jesus.
Have you noticed that there is a clown that will show up at random Pokemon centers?
Yes, I only noticed that like one or two cities ago, and now I'm like, are you the same clown? Are you like from like a cast of clowns? Like, what's the whole deal here?
It feels like it. It feels like the new version of it where you can kind of just see it in the background all the time. Like, if you're really paying attention, you'll constantly see it. And that's what it feels like this clown is.
That's something I like about this game. And maybe I just like haven't played one of the older Pokemon games in a while, but it feels like it really rewards like fucking around. Like, if you like go into most little houses or like go off the beaten path or whatever, like most of the time you're gonna find something cool or like someone weird to talk to. And like, maybe my memory's wrong, but I feel like in other Pokemon games, like, you know, it's just kind of like, no, stick to the main path or else, like, or there's nothing cool to find.
Right.
Well, and they give you the dowsing machine in this one, so
yes,
they even like they reward just kind of like poking around and mm-hmm. seeing what's out there. So I found some good stuff with the dowsing machine.
Oh, yeah. This gen. It was really useful.
Found a whole dang HM.
Yeah, I got...
Useful.
Oh,
in
yeah,
this
truly.
Way, yeah.
I got a rare candy, I think, at some point, but I might be mixing it up with a different time, which is always fun.
There was
get.
One in the snow.
Yeah, word.
Yeah, that's always open on my Poketch app.
Yeah, totally. Although I have... Actually, Josh, I think you were talking about this. I got into, like, a really big Eevee breeding, like, moment maybe a couple cities back. And so I have 7 Eevees now just, like, in the mix, and I keep putting 2 of them at a time into the daycare. And so I like to check to see how they're doing because I want to get them all to, like, a certain level before I evolve them. And then I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to have them on my main team.
Are you just going to do a full Eevee suite?
I think I just want to have a bunch of Eevees, Eeveelutions, rather.
I'm storing Eevee eggs, and then I'm determining if I'm going to hatch all of them.
Make omelets. Eevee omelets. I met a new Eevee that I didn't know existed this week.
Oh, which one?
Oh, Glaceon.
Glaceon.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Ice Eevee. Very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
It's very festive.
Is there an unattractive Eevee evolution? I don't think there is.
I think the fairy one is kind of scary.
The fairy one is one of the cutest ones, Josh. It's a fairy Eevee.
Sylveon.
It's the best of all worlds.
It's
cute
over
fairy,
the top
cute
with
Eevee.
The glassy dead eyes.
You think it's
that's
too
true.
Much?
The Eeveelution eyes are very like Build-A-Bear eyes. Like just sort of like forward staring.
Yeah, I guess they all kind of have like black abyss eyes or glassy ones here. But they're all attractive. They're all handsome.
I think they're all cutie. I think the one that I think I'm the least into is Leafeon.
Yeah, I agree. Whoa. I definitely agree.
I think Leafeon's really cool, though.
My favorite's Umbreon. I think Umbreon is so adorable.
Umbreon's good. Yeah. Which one's the psychic one? I like that one, too. Espeon.
Espeon, yeah.
Yeah.
The Fennec Fox kind of a thing.
Yeah. We started our journey this week in Canalave City. We just beat the gym. And then the second we leave, we're sort of assaulted by our rival, Bad Josh.
Ray Perducci.
And
who's your rival, Alana?
I named mine Cal for some reason. It just seemed like his energy.
You know a Cal that you dislike?
No, I actually only know one Cal who's like really nice and low-key, but the name feels like emblematic of a certain type of guy.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a bad Josh kind of guy.
Just very like pew, pew, pew. Like, okay, yeah. Calm down.
Some rude like baseball player in high school.
Right.
You're just thinking of Cal Ripken, Josh, aren't you?
Is that who I'm thinking of?
I think your mind
That's
just
the name.
Clicked to Cal
when I
Ripken.
Think of Cal, that is the one that comes to mind immediately. And he's a baseball guy?
Yep.
Okay.
He's a baseball guy. Baltimore Orioles.
Honestly, Ripken sounds like a Pokemon.
So we're assaulted by our friend Bad Josh outside of the Canalave. What did we decide? Canalave?
Canalave. I think it's just Canalave.
Canalave.
I like Canalave.
Yeah, me too.
City Library, but he will not address us until we are able to use the move strength.
Yes.
So we, and he says, did you go to the Iron Islands and get strength yet? And it's like, okay, great.
Like, it's so obvious.
Thank you for pointing me in the right direction. Head to the south. There's a little ferry here that will take you to the Iron Island.
Pleasant cruise.
Cute little cruise. Yeah. The boats look good in this game.
They do. Pretty.
Yeah. And you get to, you leave Canalave and like you get to watch the bridges draw up, which mm-hmm. is a really nice effect.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Iron Island is just a big cave. You walk up, you're immediately assaulted by a woman called Riley.
Yeah, speaking of NPCs with a lot of personality.
Yeah, she's wearing like a witch's hat. Like, I don't know her deal yet.
She's cool. She joins you in the same way that Cheryl did, so that you can do a lot of double battling.
But you have to go through a few rooms to get to her.
You do, yeah.
And this is like a storage facility for Team Galactic, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of like
canisters,
50-gallon drums around.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like oil tankards or whatever around.
Yeah, and she's like hanging out among them, and then she's like, hey, how about you help me get me out of here?
She's cool. She'll heal your Pokemon after every battle, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, that was tight.
Yeah, I love that shit.
She's kind of a Lucario head.
Yeah, big time.
She has one Pokemon. It's Lucario.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but her Lucario died a lot.
Oh.
Constantly. And then she just didn't have anything.
And then
to
she didn't have any
it.
Other.
So then you're like, just like two on one.
I'm going to double battle. Yeah. And your Lucario died in one hit. And now I've got to take on like six Pokemon in a double battle. Thank you, Riley, for all your assistance in this battle.
Right, and it's such a pain in the ass to catch Pokemon when you're in the like little team ups. Like if you, I think you guys may have talked about this before, but when you're two on one or whatever, like you have to make one feint and then like you have to work the other down. Like, right. I don't have the patience for that whatsoever. So like, yeah, loved having her heal my Pokemon, but it definitely felt like more of a liability than anything else.
Yeah, she does it because she needs to resurrect her one Pokemon constantly.
Yeah. She learned the dark arts. Eventually, you make your way through the cave. Well, you make your way like halfway through the cave, and she's like, great, thank you. This is as far as I needed to go. Have this egg.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you two, but I certainly did not have an open slot in my Pokemon party for an egg. So I had to huff it all the way goddamn back to Canalave City and store a Pokemon and come back out and grab this egg. And then it's just a fucking whatever the baby Lucario is called.
Riolu.
Riolu.
Riolu's really sweet.
Sure, it's really sweet. It's not a human.
So I almost texted you about this because like, and I obviously didn't have time to actually get to the bottom of whether or not I'm going to do this, but Lucario must be a human.
No, it's got a tail, Josh. It's a dog.
God. Right. I keep forgetting about the tail.
I don't know. He's such a dude, though. Like, Lucario's a guy.
Oh, I fully expect it. I was like, oh, great. Lucario. Perfect.
That would be
fun. I love this.
So I will tell you guys, I took the egg and I hatched it, and now Lucario is in my party, which was like the
last. That's so cool.
Truly the last thing I expected to happen in like this final leg or whatever.
Did you sit and level a Lucario to 45?
Yeah, that's all I was doing for the last like 3 days. But I will say it actually was a lot easier because first of all, the what is the little baby one called? I can never remember.
Riolu,
yeah. It like levels up so goddamn fast, and I like just gave it the experience share. And also everyone around you is just like an ice Pokemon, so fighting is really good against it.
Oh,
so like it wasn't that bad. And I really like having it because also I had like in that slot, I had a Machoke, and I was, like, not happy with it the entire time, but I liked having a fighting type. And then I was like, I'm not gonna trade this before I, like, hang out with you guys. Like, Machoke and Machamp are just, like, boring to have at this point. Like, I may as well get another more interesting fighting type.
I think Lucario is so cool.
I love Lucario.
Me too. And I love it in... I've only gotten to use Lucario in Super Smash Brothers, which I... It's also very good in that. But I'm torn because I'm like, I don't think it's going to be worth my slot to use like Lucario, which is another fighting when I already have Infernape.
Right,
but I'm also
right,
like, really want to use Lucario.
Yeah, I'm also lousy
and Brie
with fighting
types. Wants to have
right.
It's a fine specimen.
But also he's not a dude, he's a dog, so I can't do it. And also like, I don't want to get into it, and please, like, this doesn't have to be a thing, but... Lucario's furry bait.
It's obvious.
That's
10,000%. There's a lot of segments to the body in a way that's like really unappealing.
It looks like a fursuit.
Like,
he's presented
it's just
like he's in
a fursuit.
Yeah. And we don't have to do any, we're not going to dig any deeper into it than that. I just want to register now that Lucario is a
fursuit. It's already late.
It's a fursuit.
No, that's so reasonable. Maybe that was part of my, like, latent, I don't even want to interrogate this, never mind.
So anyway, the Iron Island, that's effectively it. Like, you go...
It's just some, like, galactic grunts and, like, elevators.
Eventually you make your way out. You're now equipped with...
Strength.
Strength, which is what you went in there to get in the first place. So you can make your way back to Canalave Library and confront your nemesis.
Yeah.
For the three of us. Bad Josh, Cal, and...
Ray Perduce.
Ray Perduce. Who invites you into the library.
Yeah.
To have a clandestine meeting with Professor Rowan and... Dawn/Lucas. Alana, is your character male or female?
I'm a girl, so I have Lucas.
You've got Lucas.
As my, I don't even know, not your rival, like your big brother. I don't know. His role is weird to me.
Mentor? They seem to want to, like, help you be a better Pokemon trainer.
I guess mentor. Mentor is right. But it's almost like he's like a senior and you're a sophomore kind of deal.
Yeah. That's exactly
right. Yeah.
You go upstairs. Well, no, Josh, you take the wheel. I've been talking too much.
You climb the stairs of this library. It's various books. I clicked on all of the bookshelves, which is a problem I have.
Sure,
in this
dork.
Game. These games, I always want to see if they have, like, an item in them.
You were looking for the lusty Argonian.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I was trained because of Elder Scrolls to check all of the bookshelves. And I did try to collect all the books in Skyrim, by the way. Obviously. On the second floor, I appreciated that some guy there is just like, oh yeah, all the books on the third floor, those are for babies. They're super easy to read. And then I'm like, okay, but I don't see anyone down here that I need to talk to. And then you go to the third floor, and that's where Ray Perduce, your rival, and
he's a baby.
Rowan and the assistant are, which is like, he's shading all of them.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated.
They're all babies.
These illiterate fools.
Like, you're insulting, like, the best professor in all of Sinnoh, sure.
Presumably the only professor.
But they're not even here to read books. Right. They're here to have a meeting.
Yeah. Oh, so that's why they hang out in the children's section. It's less populated.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rowan then holds this, like, round table. And he says that he wants to better understand evolution, which is, he's reminding you, like, don't lose track of the site that I told all of you people to complete the Pokedex and see all the Pokemon.
Yeah.
And that in order to confirm that legendaries are complete forms, he says.
That's starting to get a little tricky. It's like getting loaded. It's like eugenics
stuff.
It's
strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially because
it doesn't really track.
Right, because he's like, well, they don't evolve, which means that they're, like, complete. It's like, lots of shit doesn't evolve. Like, that's how a lot of Pokemon work. I don't know.
Like, he's saying any Pokemon that doesn't evolve is incomplete.
Well, I mean, to his credit, the Pokemon Company often retcons these games and adds in new evolutions and pre-evolutions. So
you're totally right, because my example was going to be like, who needs Farfetch'd? And then it's like, didn't they give it an evolution at some point? Like, kind of a
Sirfetch'd.
Yes, Sirfetch'd. I was going to say, it's like sort of a freaky one.
He's cool. I like Sirfetch'd.
He suspects that these Mirage Pokemon that we have heard about in the lakes will somehow solve the mystery of evolution.
These are the Mew clones?
Yeah, and I want to do a Joshy's Fun Facty here. Mm-hmm. About these lake guardians. Oh, yeah. I dove into this a little bit because I was like, what is the deal with these new Mews? And their names are Uxie, Mesprit, and Azelf.
Mm-hmm.
They each represent emotions.
Okay.
Uxie is knowledge, Mesprit is emotion, and Azelf is willpower.
Okay, none of those are emotions.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
It's like some knockoff Zelda Triforce.
In fact, one of them is emotion, which is not an emotion.
Triforce energy.
Because the Triforce is what? Like power, wisdom.
It's like, it's power.
Courage.
Power,
right?
Courage, wisdom.
That seems like a thing.
Yeah.
It's also like Green Lantern stuff.
I suppose that's how, right, like how all sci-fi and fantasy operates on this trifecta.
Right. So they were created by Arceus in order to control the emotions again, kind of like of Dialga and Palkia whenever they got like out of control. These three come out and are like, you know, telling them to settle down. But Actually, what I thought was the coolest part of this whole thing is that they're based on the imperial regalia of Japan, which is Yada no Kagami, that's wisdom, Yasukani no Magatama, which is benevolence, and Kusanagi, valor. And these three things are real, actual legendary items, but in real life. And it's supposed to be a sword, a jewel, and a mirror.
Wait, you're telling me these three things exist?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, check this
out. Should we get them?
Yeah, how do we get
them? There's literally no photo of them because they are so legendary that no one can say for sure where they're located. And they only come out when a new emperor is anointed.
Well, why doesn't someone take a photo then?
And the last time they were photographed was 1989. Because they're in boxes.
Wait, Josh, you sent me a link and I'm looking at three pictures.
Read the caption, conjectural images.
Oh, yeah.
That's so wild to me. This is like one of the coolest things I've ever learned.
These are literal
legendary items in real life.
That's cool. Yeah.
And they're based on those three items in the Japanese regalia.
That's cool. I like that, Joshua. That's a great facty.
Thank you. I dived into the wiki, both Bulba and Wikipedia.
So you learn this, and then you decide to split up. Rowan and Dawn head towards one of the lakes. They assign you to Lake Valor.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Josh goes to the one to the far north that I've forgotten the name of.
Acuity.
So you are now on your way to Lake Valor, because that's where you're supposed to go. So you fly to Pastoria City. Or no, sorry. Jesus, this is such a plot-dense chunk of Pokemon that it's hard to remember everything that happens. As you're sitting in the library,
oh yeah,
the entire library shakes. You get a boom. And Bad Josh has the wherewithal to say, let's turn on the TV right behind us and see if there's any news reports. And it turns out that a big bomb has gone off at Lake Valor. And no one knows what's going on. It's complete panic. It's chaos. But you, 11-year-old boy or girl, have been sent there to figure out what's happening. You're all going to split up. Professor Roan, an adult man, he's going to go with his assistant to Lake Verity.
Take on the easy one, yeah.
A lake that has not recently been exploded by a bomb.
Right.
Bad Josh is going to go to the other one, and you're going to go to Lake Valor. So off we go. We're headed to Lake Valor. Did you guys do anything in the meantime, or did you just go?
I just went
right to Lake Valor.
At that point, I was like, the distance between gyms 5 and 6 was so small, and then the distance between 6 and 7 was so big that I was like, okay, I gotta just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much to do in 1 week. It's the reason that I beat the gym leader 45 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, this is when I did, because to make good on my pledge, I did do routes 219 through 21. To make up for
you did the water roots
area that I didn't do last time.
Yeah.
There's also a little water area south of the beach by the Valor Lakefront that you can pop off. And there's like a few trainers and a water stone down there and some other items.
Oh, this is good intel. Maybe I'll check that out after.
Take the beach from a Dr. Footstep.
Oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to revisit that area.
Just run into the water away from him.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that long, and then I headed to Valor as well.
Lake Valor is like a Magikarp genocide.
Oh my god, yeah. It's actually distressing. Like, considering it's rendered in, like, 8-bit pixels, it's like, oh, you're just, like, breathing your last right now, and I'm watching.
It's just heaps of dying Magikarps and smoldering
flopping
craters.
Around.
Yeah, and a number of Team Galactic grunts. Some of which will battle you, and some of which just won't.
They just make, like, a snide remark.
They're just there to party, yeah.
Yeah.
And to be like, fuck Magikarps, they're totally useless. And it's like, I don't know, then,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, gave me over.
Like, why don't you put them in the big water, then? It seems easy.
Like, yeah. I didn't come here for all these bottom feeders.
They've decided to show the devastation of this bomb attack on the overworld with flopping Magikarp sprites. Which is very distressing, and I guess the bomb that Team Galactic set off was used to empty the lake?
Yeah, I think they were trying to basically extricate like they were trying to get to the bottom of the you know, that has like, I mean, I guess presumably had an island in it because Cynthia's told us that, and so they must have been trying to just like get to the bottom of the cavern in order to find the Lake Guardian there,
right?
And then they just decided to blow the whole thing sky high.
You make your way through, you battle a few dudes, and then you make your way into a little cave and you meet a bad guy,
Commander Saturn.
Yes,
who looks like Will Ferrell and fucking Zoolander. His haircut.
And he doesn't battle you, right?
No, he does.
He does. Battle. Yeah.
I get so confused because like half the people in this area just,
yeah, they just want to like say stuff to you and then bounce.
Yeah,
he's got a Golbat, a Bronzor, and a Toxicroak.
Oh right, it was like a totally unremarkable battle. Just breeze through.
Yeah, it's forgettable.
But well, he does reveal that he managed to make off with the Guardian of the Lake.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't remember which one guards this lake, but it ultimately doesn't matter because apparently we've only managed to visit two of the three lakes so far.
Right.
And both are guardianless now.
Yeah.
Joshua, where did you head from Lake Valor?
I just went to Lake Verity.
You went right to Lake Verity.
The Twin Leaf one.
What did you see there? I would love to hear what you saw there.
Well, what I saw there
after
was
this break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back, Bug Catchers. Welcome back, Josh and Alana, to Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast.
Hello, Tanner. Hello, Alana.
You guys were headed to Lake Verity last time I talked to you. How was your journey down there?
Pretty uneventful.
Yeah.
I flew to Twin Leaf. I said hi to my mom.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Did you guys say hi to your mom?
Good daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. So did I.
She just offered to heal my Pokemon. She didn't really.
Well, she made you a home cooked dinner.
I brought one of those flopping Magikarp over and she fried that up.
She was like, there's a hot dinner's on the stove.
Just said you look tired. And
like, yeah, I'm 12. No shit, I look tired.
You look like shit. Right. I don't know how close either of you are to your mother, but my mom used to do a thing that drove me crazy when I was a teenager, which is like every now and then after I got my driver's license, I would drive my mom around. Like she would like, you know, I would take her somewhere, like drive her home or whatever.
Sure.
And she would do a thing where she would just, as I was driving, she would stare at me and then either say something extremely sweet or extremely devastating. So it'd be like, it would be like, she would stare at me and be like, God, I can't believe I made you. And it's just like that alone. If you're like a,
that could go either way.
If you're like an 18-year-old, you're like, shut up, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But then every now and then she would be like, you know, I can make an appointment with a dermatologist if you want to have that acne looked at.
Whoa.
And it's just like, Mom.
Like, well, in the same vein, isn't the acne your fault?
Right, like you made this.
So, you gave me this.
Yeah, you made me, so.
I didn't ask for this.
I am quite close with my mom, and, you know, we have a great relationship, but what I remember from, like, the few times I drove her around in the car was she would clutch the side of the door with such intensity like, make her knuckles turn white. And look, yeah. I do not claim to be the world's most confident driver. Like, there's a reason I have lived in New York City for a decade, but, like, I was not going to, like, slam headlong into a brick wall, which is, like, clearly what she was bracing for. Like, genuinely every time she got into the car with me.
Or do the thing where they, like, phantom slam down on the brakes.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
That would cause some yelling from
me. That's, like, big parent energy.
Totally.
Both of those things.
Yeah.
Like, I promise it's in, like, both of our best interests not to kill us. Like, just, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Right.
I gotta say, though,
I got a whole lot more life to live, especially.
I'm 37 now, and I live in suburban Connecticut, and I drive everywhere, and I am, like, the most boring old man driver in the world now. Like, I only go three above the speed limit, no matter where I am. Like, there's a big straightaway between us and the grocery store, and the other day, I was going 28 into 25, and some guy tore past me in a double yellow line in a residential neighborhood, and he must have been going 50.
Ugh, fuck that guy.
He must have thought, like, oh, this is an old person. And then he passed me, and it's like, you know, a relatively young
joke's
man.
On you, I'm young.
Yeah. It's like, I'm listening to a podcast right now. So we're in Lake Verde. We go home. Mm-hmm. Back to our roots, Twin Leaf Town. Lake Verde is the same Lake Verde it was before.
Yeah.
Except now it's infested with nasty little Team Galactic grunts.
Galacticses.
Including Commander Mars.
We fought Mars as well, because Mars is the one with that perugly that almost killed all of us.
Right.
Or Tanner and I, at least. I don't know about
no,
you.
No, no, no. I have had a ton of trouble with all of the commanders in a way that is annoying to me.
Yeah, Mars is upset, too.
Right, right.
Mars will, like, call you out because of the defeat at Valley Windworks.
Right. We show up. Rowan is there. Dawn is there. Rowan asked you to go kind of, like, involve yourself in the harsh words that are happening between Dawn / Lucas and Commander Mars.
Yeah.
So you confront Mars.
Yeah, she's still got the perugly. And then, again, Golbat and Bronzor. I guess that's their thing. They've all got the Golbat and the Bronzor, and then they have, like, a signature Pokemon, and hers is Perugly.
And the Perugly, I think the Perugly is kind of hard. Like, I didn't have as much of a trouble because I had Lucario this time, who was, like, pretty built up. But, like, I don't know. That thing has, like, a lot of HP. I just, like, found it more irksome than I had wanted to.
So beefy.
Right. And, like, more than hard, it's just, like, tedious. And you just, like, end up working your shit down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's just got, like, you know, it doesn't even have, like, totally wild stats. Mm-mm. It just, like, feels so buff.
Yeah. Well, it also has, it's got a citrus berry, which is annoying.
Yeah.
And it's also got hypnosis, which is very annoying. And there was a Golbat earlier in the fight who had Toxic. So if you're unfortunate enough to have been Toxic, then you're just getting your shit handed to you. But
right,
yeah, Mars continues to be an issue, but I got through her. And then Galactic fucks off, because guess what? They got the legendary Pokemon in this lake too.
Yeah, Mars says that because Saturn distracted everyone with that bomb blast, they've made off with all three of the lake guardians, apparently.
Right, so why even bother going to the last lake, which Josh knows the name of?
Acuity.
Joshy's Acuities.
That's good.
That's nice.
That is nice.
I actually don't know what acuity means, but I'm sure it's a good trait to have.
Sharpness or keenness of thought, vision, or hearing.
Word.
Wow. The living dictionary here.
Joshy has plenty of acuity, yes.
Yeah. Make our way out of Lake Verity, having defeated everyone, but also having been defeated. Sort of a weird paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Make our way to Route 211. So we need to find our way north, and there's a couple ways to find our way north. Your options are to fly to Eternicity or Celestic Town, and you can either go east or west from those two cities.
Mm-hmm.
If you fly to Eternicity, you can have a little brief foray in Route 211 on your way to Mount Coronet to make your way north. Because now you have strength.
Right.
So Mount Coronet is now fair game. All those big boulders that you needed to push around to get around the cave, you can finally do that. So I flew to Eternicity.
Okay.
And I made my way through Route 211 and encountered a trainer on this route who
troubled you.
Was challenging to me. But not challenging in a way that I felt challenged by them in terms of, like, fighting them. But challenging to me in that they had a Pokemon that was so heinously ugly to me that I had to take a moment and sort of catch my breath.
Mm-hmm. Who is that?
And that Pokemon is my You Make Me Barf Pokemon of the Week, and its name is Ambipom.
This fucking thing sucks.
Cosine.
Ambipom is the evolution of Apom, and it's sort of like Apom, except even uglier.
Worse.
Even more hands?
A really pronounced hand. Like, just like a lot of in-your-face hand.
Apom has one tail hand. Ambipom has two tail hands. And the fingers on the tail
plus
hands
they're
are
bigger and uglier.
sort of swollen and red. They're much bigger, and they're swollen and red. And his face is even more menacing. Uh-huh. And he's got even more tufts of hair. Just an ugly, ugly Pokemon. They're just so ugly.
I agree.
Every now and then they'll design a Pokemon that's just so ugly where it's like, did you design this because you knew it was going to be ugly? Because you knew I was going to hate it?
That Tanner specifically would hate it.
Specifically.
Well, Tanner, I mean, you hated... What was the one... What's the, like, kind of gross cow Pokemon that has, like, all the udders?
Miltank.
These look like Miltank's udders. Like, the hand... look like udders?
The little red...
Yeah, just these, like, little nipples. I don't know. It's really...
Yeah, they're, like, little nipples.
It's so
you expect to squeeze an Ambipom finger and, like, something will come out of it. Some kind of fluid. Pus or milk or... It horrifies me to think about it.
Its Ultra Moon Pokedex entry says that it uses its tails for everything, and if it wraps both of its tails around you and gives you a squeeze, that's proof it really likes you.
No, thank you.
I do not want that. Thank you.
That would be the world's worst hug.
I do not consent.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. I hate
it. Oh my god,
thing.
Like patting your back. Oh, never mind. That's
no,
horrible.
No, no. I hate it. No. Alana, did you, I want to make sure to recognize you and honor you. Did you have You Make Me Barf Pokemons or cuties this?
I think that this is such a worthy You Make Me Barf because it also makes me barf. I would like to enter as like an honorable mention. I hated Abomasnow so much in this very visceral way.
Oh.
Like, just, I think it's like the little Cthulhu mouth, like having all these like fluttery things down in front of it. Like, there was just something so like... gross and like, I don't know, just like lurching about the whole thing. Like when and I fought a ton of them because I was trying to train up my Lucario from like level one, and they were like worth a lot of experience, so I like wouldn't run away when I found them, but each time I was just like, good, you're going down. I just like could not stand those things in like a very visceral way.
Well, Alana, you're a known sort of like alt-right personality.
Yeah, of course.
And you hate that Abomasnow has the name Obama in it. And that's kind of your main issue with it, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's really well clocked.
Yeah, we wanted to have you on because we're, you know, a nonpartisan.
Right,
yeah, we're trying
right.
to branch
we
out.
We
want to
hear
bit.
Both
yeah.
sides about Abomasnow. Mm-hmm. Also, I looked it up before coming on, and apparently it's like 8 feet tall, which is just like so distressing to me. Like, and I know that Pokemon like do scale up to the real world, but like just the thought of this like lurching, horrid thing like breathing through its little like mouth tentacles at me just like really was not working.
Abomasnow is not terribly cute.
Mm.
I gotta say, Snover, kind of like it.
Mm.
I was gonna say I almost made Snover my sweetie.
I kind of like Snover. Snover's a little bit of a cutie.
I'm neutral.
You're not into
it. I'm nooch. I'm hella nooch.
Yeah.
I think, what's the little pig one? That one's really cute.
Swinub.
Ugh, I just don't, I don't.
I like Swinub.
All of you guys in your, like, pro-Swinub propaganda.
Oh, I think Swinub is so adorable.
It's a little sweetie.
I think Swinub and Pillow Swine are both.
I do not like Pillow Swine, but I love Swinub. I would like to have like four and like put one on my shoulder.
That would be fun.
Snover also has the ability Soundproof, which is a hell of ability, if I remember from
my X-Plow.
Your little noisy Pokemon, Josh, from last
year.
Yeah,
it's immune to sound-based moves, which is like a pretty wide collection of moves.
Yeah.
I like the combo though, Grass Ice. It's a cool combo. I feel like it was probably the first one that had that combo.
Yeah, definitely.
That is cool. Grass Ice is a cool combo. Ice just feels like such a strong, well, I guess like it's incredibly susceptible to fighting Pokemon, but
it's actually funny. I've played these games since day one, and I don't think I really grokked until this time that Ice was so susceptible to fighting. I think I've always just defaulted to Fire as my like anti-Ice move, and this whole time I've just been doing fighting, and it's been really satisfying.
Oh
just,
god,
like,
you can one hit
oh
any
god.
Ice Pokemon.
With also, because like I kind of fucked up. I mean, we'll get into this when we talk about our parties, but like I sort of fucked up my Fire Pokemon a little bit. Like I have a Rapidash who I like and is good, but like
sexy.
I don't know, has like Fire Blast and Fire Spin and doesn't have sort of like an intermediate move, so I feel like I either am just like unleashing full devastation or like not really doing anything, so I like haven't been relying on Fire that much.
Yeah, I don't have any Fire Pokemon, but I do have some normal Pokemon mm-hmm. who know Fire moves, mm-hmm. but their Fire moves are all like big hoss move. So it's like, okay, I'm going to use...
You did the Snorlax.
I'm
going
to use Fire Blast to take care of this.
No, totally.
Snorunt.
I used all the like PP ups on my Rapidash's Fire Blast. So I have like 8 Fire Blasts and they hit like 70% of the time. And it's just like, cool, sorry, this is really over aggressive.
So this is all, Route 211 is all in service of getting to Mount Coronet, finally. Mm-hmm. It's the same Mount Coronet we were on before, but now we have access to strength so we can make our way north for the first time. It's a fairly short route.
Yeah.
And once you're out, you're on Route 216, which is a nightmare.
Oh, wow, yeah. 217
Route
is
216
even worse,
and 217 are both awful. It's like all the frustration of a water route. Except much, much worse, because you can't use your bike. Even running shoes don't do anything, because sometimes the snow is so deep that... So sorry. If you're not playing with us, Route 216 and 217 are covered in snow.
Right.
And the snow is varying levels of depth, where sometimes you can walk normally, sometimes you can walk a little slowly, and then... oftentimes you walk so slowly, like half speed,
yeah.
Thus rendering the entire journey just a nightmare.
And it's not like the marsh where you can escape. It's inescapable.
And then there's a blizzard. So not only are you walking at half speed, but your screen is completely obscured by an overlay of a blizzard. So you're getting constantly attacked by NPCs.
I don't know when you guys played, but I was playing like right when the absurd blizzards were pelting New York, and I like couldn't leave my apartment for many days in a row. And like,
oh, yeah.
After like, you know, hour 3, it started to become like less and less charming and like a snow globe and more like, oh, cool, it's a pandemic. And I also like can't go out for my like one daily dose of dopamine, which is a walk.
A little
and
walk.
So like
right.
Having to like slog through it in my video game life, like my escapist life as well, just felt like so insult to injury. It was like, no, cool, like I already had to dig out my like shitty snow boots from the back of the closet to like go to the grocery store, and now I have to do the same thing to get to fucking like Snow Point City. Like, yeah. How dare.
And they do the snow like static on a TV, like it's really aggressive, and you see like you run into, there's like a couple of like houses just out in like the tundra, and like everyone is depressed. Like there's a woman who's in a house with like a candle, and it's like basically dark, and she's like, oh, I'm so glad to see you, I can't believe that you found me here.
Right, like I haven't seen people in forever, and right? It's like, Jesus.
Like, well, like half the houses are like abandoned too.
Oh yeah, there's abandoned houses.
Wait, there's that house that has the sign that's like a warm bed and not much else, and it's like, Jesus, right? We get it, like this is inhospitable,
you don't have to live here.
It's a nightmare. They present it, this whole region, 216, 217 and Snow Point City, as though it were like the Arctic. Like even Snow Point City is not much of a town, and what town is there is like a crane and some like shipping containers. As though like,
yeah, it is,
it was some kind of like Arctic base, you know.
It is cool that it's got that like Russian like icebreaker
yeah,
ship
with the little drills
with the
on
like
the front.
Drills in the front, yeah.
right
That's cool.
So it is, yeah, like Arctic Circle.
And like obviously like one can't interrogate like the Pokemon biosphere too closely without going crazy, but like it's just so funny that you can just like walk there, that like one day, yeah. You're in like 1 minute you're in just like very normal weather, and the next it's like no, this is permafrost and this is how everyone lives all the time, and it took you like 18 minutes to get there on foot.
It's like Game of Thrones where it's like,
yeah,
oh, you're
exactly.
Telling me the wall is like a day's journey from King's Landing.
Right
I did like that the like ace trainers, so there are like skiers, and I'm gonna want to talk
skiers
about
are
one
cool.
Of the skiers.
I kind
of
like their little skier, they're like sticking their little butts out,
they ski in their like very tight circles,
yeah.
Like
yeah. And then, but I did like that there are some ace trainers on Route 216, and they have little coats. Their sprite is modified so that they have, like, wool coats. I was like, that's cute.
It is cute.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, well, I've got my little coat, so I'm ready for anything.
At one point, you run into an NPC who's like, I love your scarf. I wish I had one. And I was kind of like, I was like, I don't remember having a scarf. And if it's, like, warm enough to keep me warm here, then it seems like it would be too warm to wear elsewhere. Like, again, once again, like, can't interrogate this too closely.
I'm ill-equipped for this weather.
Yeah.
One episode ago, I was literally beachcombing.
Right.
So I don't know how I got here.
Right.
It's a nightmare. You walk through these nightmare routes with blizzards and deep snow and stuff, and these skiers and ace trainers are constantly attacking you. But this deep snow hides a lot of buried treasure. It's like the top of Everest, where all those like people die and they can't get up there to like remove their bodies, so they just leave their bodies like right next to the trail. And the walls also don't decompose because it's like, you know, ice cold and 45,000 feet in the air.
I love the idea of like the Skyrim version of Pokemon where you're just like looting bodies in the snow.
Sure, yeah. You're just taking so items cool. off of these dead bodies who have died en route to Snow Point City.
There is one guy too who like one of these other people who's just like stuck in a house, and it seems like he was about to die, and he will die there because he lost his HM.
Right.
The snow. Yeah. This hiker.
Even though it's like seemingly only a few feet from his house, like I think we all
That's
found
always
it.
What happens. It's like the desert. Climb. It happens in desert and it happens in blizzards where like you're feet away from safety and you just die in the snow, you know?
But also it sort of gives credence to y'all's
I didn't
like,
do anything to help
y'all's like idea that like HMs should be a public resource and like you should be able to like use it once and then teach it to someone else. Like no one should die because they lost their HM 2 feet behind their house.
Right.
Like you should be able to just like replicate it endlessly.
In that little house that's like a bed and not much else or whatever, put the HM there. Let everyone who's going on this trail get the HM. And then maybe people won't die.
I also went outside and used my dowsing machine and found the HM. It was right there.
I didn't have to use the dowsing machine. It was just very clearly right there.
It was a rock climb.
I will say there are too many fairly necessary HM moves in this game. It's really goddamn annoying.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's like what? Like you get 24 moves total and 8 of them have to be HMs. I mean, maybe 6,
insane.
But still, it's just like such a pain in the ass. Like I had to use that on my Lucario who like could be doing other stuff.
Well, and they even eliminated some HMs in this one, like Flash.
Yeah.
But then they added some
fucking Defog.
Some other useless ones in. Yeah.
Defog.
I don't have anyone in my permanent party with Defog because I think it's just like useless, but I'm sure that will come to bite me like toward the end.
Well, there was that one section in Mount Coronet that I just like hacked it. Mm-hmm. I was like, no,
totally.
I'm not going to go and get a Defog
through.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to deal with it. I put on a max repel because I tried to do a battle in the fog and it was a nightmare.
Oh my God, it's so annoying. You can't land any moves.
Yeah. I'm sure I missed things in that whole area, but I was just like, nope, I'm just going to beeline to the north.
Life is short.
Yeah. Josh, you encounter anyone on Route 217 that you found particularly cute?
Yeah, we touched on this at the beginning of the episode, and I almost triggered it there, but skier Lexi has Joshy's sweetie.
Yeah.
Although I will say, as Snover was in the running, Riolu was also in the running. There were a lot of sweeties, I think.
Riolu is my, leg. I think, nomination for sweetie.
Yeah. I think it's a little cutie. But I really like this Glaceon. It's Joshy's sweetie.
A hell of a new Eevee Eevee evolution.
This is a great design.
Golly, what a cutie. It's got little, like, braids,
kind of like icicle looking.
It's got
braids.
Bangs.
Yeah. It's got bangs. Yeah,
like little ice bangs.
It's so hip.
Really cool. I like Glaceon a lot. Leafeon and Glaceon are the two new ones in this gen.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool that they do that.
Yeah, I like that it can just change the temperature and make everything freeze. Like that's its ability. It lowers its body heat and freezes its fur. That's cool.
That is cool. It's like Sub-Zero.
And it looks sweet.
From Mortal Kombat.
I can't say for sure. You might see Glaceon might have to come out.
Oh, you're gonna have
you could get a good price for one of
those.
You're
gonna have a third Eevee evolution on your team.
I feel like it's like almost a spiral into madness for Breivander, where like she's selling all these Eevees and their evolutions, but like slowly she's like, what if I just have all these Eevees?
She's getting high on her own supply. It sounds
well when you look at a Glaceon, how can you not?
Yeah.
And they're all like pretty good. Like every one of the evolutions
really
like is really solid. Like for all they're like 3 feet tall, they can like do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Alana, you mentioned your Nasty, you make me barf Pokemon, but did you have a sweetie as well?
I think Riolu. I just thought it was so cute. Yeah. I thought it sort of like comprised everything you want from Lucario without having that like creepy segmented grown-up body. Like, I just really loved it. I actually considered for a minute not evolving it. Because also it's a pain in the ass to evolve. It needs to be like happy in the daytime and blah blah blah. Yeah, and that's just like
both
like
bad
whatever.
Things at the
but
same
also
time.
it had like genuinely no HP, so I was like, okay, you gotta go. But I just think it was so sweet. I really loved its whole vibe.
Yeah. You're like a Riolu.
I agree, yeah.
I didn't even hatch my egg.
That's so reasonable. I feel like I was on like a fool's errand, and if I hadn't known that it was like a fighting type Pokemon, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. The last little leg of this journey before we finally reach Snowpoint City is a brief foray into the Acuity Lakefront. We don't actually see the lake on this journey, but we do kind of dip into the lakefront a little bit.
You like suffer a taunt from your rival who's up on the top of a a cliff.
He's like on a cliff
with the rock climb stuff.
Right, he's like, you could come here if you knew how to do this.
Yeah.
If you can get the badge from Snowpoint, then you can come up here.
Yeah, that was a much better impression of what his voice probably sounds like.
A little puke.
But, you know, it's unremarkable at this point. I'm sure next leg of the journey, it'll be a little more exciting. But we are on to Snowpoint City. As we mentioned, it's sort of this weird Arctic town.
Yeah.
There's not much here except a icebreaker boat, a crane with some shipping containers, a Pokemon Center, a Pokemart, and the gym. And there's also a building up to the north.
Yeah.
Snowpoint Temple. But there was some Team Galactic grunt out front who wouldn't let me in.
It looks really cool, though. I haven't been there yet, and like the design of the temple looks like very appealing. I'm excited to go there.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
And there's like some like wise elder in front of it.
Oh, was it not a Team Galactic grunt?
Yeah, I don't think it was Team Galactic.
No,
I feel
they're
like the
not
team
up there.
Does like a really good job of making you excited to go back to the places that you couldn't get into previously. Like sometimes with Pokemon games, it can feel very much like, if I can't get in there, like, okay, fine, fuck, whatever. Like, I'll just, like, do what I need to do to get there. But, like, I don't know. They build up some anticipation, I think, in this game that I appreciate.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. But we can't get in there now.
Yeah. You can't do anything but the gym at this point.
Yeah, the gym is the only thing open. The gym. Should we talk about the gym real quick?
Oh, fucking God. Yeah.
I'm a adult man.
Yeah.
You have a young son.
I think of myself as a fairly intelligent adult man. I love
successful
puzzle games. I love games like The Witness and Myst.
You've designed games, in fact.
I'm a game designer. I've designed games.
Yeah.
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 Literally had to look up how to beat the puzzle in Snowpoint City Gym.
I did too.
Because I was like just sort of slipping around on ice for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And this was like, at like 1 a.m. last night. I was in bed playing it in bed.
Literally exactly the same.
Like falling asleep as I was playing it. And I was just like, I cannot figure out how to get to this.
I will do you one better, which is I looked up because I was frustrated, did not understand the instructions, and then had to just like kind of keep slamming into ice until such time as I could get through.
There's like several things happening in this gym. The first
there's like
thing
no
is like
no rhyme or reason to it. There's no like clever internal logic.
No, no,
it's
no.
Just like
yeah, it's a nightmare. There you slip around if it's like
a icy pit
rocket hangout vibe where if like you slip around, if you step on a nice tile, you keep going until you hit like a wall.
Or a trainer, yeah.
But there's also patches of snow that will stop you. There's also staircases that will stop you.
The staircases? Fuck the staircases.
Yeah,
I hated that.
And then there are snowballs, which will stop you if you're not going fast enough. But if you are going fast enough, you will plow through them and eliminate them. And that is the ultimate puzzle of the game, of this gym, is you have to figure out how to plow through all of the snowballs in your way so that you can loop around and get back to the beginning so that you can walk through the stairs and find your way to El Ice.
Yeah.
The ice type gym trainer.
It was like
a nightmare.
Truly, I was like, it's hard to find too. Like I went through like three different guides. I had to find like a video with some fucking idiot like talking over it.
Hey, what's up,
as
guys?
They always do on YouTube.
Yeah. that kind of thing.
And then, like, plowed through all of it. And meanwhile, I was in trouble with a couple of the trainers. I had to, like, heal myself.
Yeah.
This was rough. The gym is the worst. Like, this design is a nightmare.
It felt like summiting Everest, a thing I've never done. Right. But yeah. Seems hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've watched a lot of Discovery Channel.
Yeah, yeah, into thin air.
Oh, yeah. So you guys did not struggle with...
I did not, because I had a...
Candice.
I had an overpowered fire type, and I had a, like, scrappy fighting type, so I was okay.
Yeah, I was okay, because I had Infernape for fire and fighting. And then I used Vaporeon on Piloswine to just surf for super effective. Abomasnow was a joke because of the fire. And then Frostlass, I actually used Luxray because he has Crunch now. And I just did a crunch.
Yeah, crunch is good.
Dead.
I was fully expecting Candice to be a cakewalk. I brought in a Machamp, a Metacham, a Toxicroak, all three of which are fighting type Pokemon. She's got a number of Pokemon who are challenging to fighting type Pokemon. It's almost as if she expected me to bring three fighting type Pokemon to her gym. She's got Sneasel, which knows Aerial Ace. And Aerial Ace one-hitted several of my fighting type Pokemon.
That is troubling, yeah.
She's got Abomasnow, who knows Avalanche, which is not that bad, but like Avalanche does double damage if you attack that Pokemon that turn.
And it's like, it's a pain in the ass. That's like one of those moves that you don't think of as a big deal, and then all of a sudden it's like compounding, and yeah, you're like, get out of here.
It becomes a problem. And then fucking Frostlass knows both Shadow Ball and Psychic.
Yeah.
Which is just like devastating.
Also, that Frostlass is really high level. I feel like it was like level 44 or something.
Yeah,
it was like 44. It was like significantly higher than
anything else. I like it. And Frostlass is the one that's based on like is a wandering woman who died like up in the mountains.
Oh yeah.
I think Frostlass is like a really cool Pokemon.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
And it's apparently fucking great.
Frostlass is the alternate
to
evolution aligned to Glalie. Glalie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Way better than that one.
Yeah, Frostlass is interesting. Ice Ghost is a cool fucking combo.
It really is. It's cool. Yeah. It made me respect the ice type so much that I added a Sneasel to my party when I got one.
Yuck.
I was like, yeah. I actually added two Pokemon to my party since the last gym before, like, coming on. And, like, I was like, oh, ice could, like, really do some real damage here. I should try a Sneasel.
Breivander almost added Sneasel, too, because that's got a couple of nice gems.
Yeah.
Ice is cool. I was surprised. Like, she didn't wipe me. I beat Candice, but I was surprised at how difficult she was. You know, like, I had to use some revives and, like, use some max potions along the way.
Yeah.
Mostly because of Frostlass. Mm-hmm. And Frostlass is psychic and Shadow Ball moves, both of which are pretty devastating to my Metacham. But I got through it. I assume you two did as well.
Yes.
We've defeated the gym leader this week. Alana, I'm curious, are you going to continue on your journeys?
Oh, absolutely. I'm having a great time with this.
Good. Maybe we'll challenge you to a battle when all is said and done.
Hell yeah. No, like I said, like I don't actually have a memory of ever playing this generation of games before, even though like... logically I did, and it's been so fun to just like get to know it.
Yeah I've never played this game either, but I don't want to blow my wad too early in the season, but
I mean, it is the seventh gym.
I kind of think this is maybe my favorite Pokemon game so far.
I kind of think it's like, I think of the, like, if someone's gonna pick up a 3DS Pokemon game, I think this is the one I would recommend to them right now.
It's really good.
It's so better than the ones I've played so far.
Like, here's the thing. I think, and you guys are obviously gonna get into this as you, like, continue the show, and, like, I think you're gonna have a lot of fun with it, but I think that they get a little gimmicky. Like, they try and sort of be like, this is Paris, this is Hawaii, and, like, all of that's fun, but they, like, almost try and mess with the formula a little too much, and this is, like, to me, the best possible application of the formula, where it's still hard, and it's still exciting, and there's still, like, room for something to go wrong, but it's not, like, oh, we're, like, kind of endeavoring in a completely different way than we normally would.
Right.
I don't know. I just, like, think it's, like, really a fun, happy medium.
I do, too. I just think it's... I just... Like, it is all of the things from the previous three gens that they've tweaked and refined and gotten right, plus some cool new features that I like. I think the Poketch is really cool. I think the, like, the Dowsing Machine is, like a essential.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's actually, it's really making me appreciate the 3DS as like a console in a way that I have really forgotten about in the last few years. Like I mean, I think the 3DS was my favorite console that ever got released, like, of a new thing until the Switch came along, and even then I was, like, sort of a slow adopter to the Switch.
Yeah.
And now picking this up, I'm like, why isn't the Switch better? Like, why isn't it smaller? Why doesn't it have two screens? Like, why can't I just, like, throw it in my pocket? You know, like, I don't know, yeah. There's just something really nimble about the 3DS and really, like, appealing about it that, like, I actually haven't found on another console, which has been, like, fun and exciting to kind of reacquaint myself with.
Yeah,
kind of
totally
like the pinnacle
agree.
Of both.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I actually think they need to make, like, a Switch 3DS. Like, they need something that closes. They need something that is, like, if you're gonna make a handheld Switch, it should look closer to this.
They did make a handheld Switch, but it's still just
a Switch.
No,
that's what I mean. And it's like, oh, but it has all the same problems, where it's like, you can't just, like, throw it in your bag unless you're gonna, like, fuck it up.
Right.
Like,
right.
They need to do it like that cool-ass, I've never actually seen it in person, but, like, Samsung phone, you know, with the screen
that
you can actually just fold.
I'm
sure it's probably a couple more years before that will really be viable, but, like, that's what they need.
Like, make me a Nintendo executive and I'll tell you how to do it.
All that's left now, as is our tradition whenever we have a guest on, is to battle. And I think what's required before we battle is to talk about our characters and talk about our teams. It's level check.
Level check.
Alana, I would love for you to begin. You said your name is Alana OK.
It's actually just Alana in the game, but I made it Alana OK on the, like, you know, team builder site Pokemon Showdown site or whatever.
Like, oh, yeah.
So I'm Alana.
Yes.
And I have named my Pokemon according to mostly a very embarrassing scheme, which is that in quarantine, I have been trying to brush up on my Japanese. And so a lot of the names of my Pokemon are, like, really basic Japanese nouns.
What's your impetus for learning Japanese?
It's something that I've been sort of, like, dabbling with on and off for years, and I was kind of like, if I'm going to do anything quote-unquote productive with this time off, it's not going to be, like, writing a book, it's not going to be, like, knitting a blanket, it's going to be just, like, absorbing some knowledge, I think, from the outside. And it's been fun to almost, like, return to school in that way. Like, I bought a textbook and I've been doing Duolingo and just, like, giving myself little lesson plans every day. Feels like nice structure, honestly.
That's cool.
So that's just kind of, like, where my, I mean, listen, like, as of today, I don't think I've done a lesson in, like, 5 or 6 days, so, like, whatever. But,
you know,
it's a nice noble thought.
You don't want to knit a blanket, even though you're persona is, and we'll talk about this when we let you plug, but, like,
you're a knitting icon.
Oh yeah. I mean, I am basically, like, a semi-professional knitter, but I wouldn't say this time has been, like, particularly helpful to my ideating. I guess this is probably the time to do it. I wrote a book that came out not too long ago called Knit a Hat, which is basically what it sounds like. It's all about, if you're a beginner or if you're someone who's returning to the craft, here's how you, you know, pick up yarn, pick up needles, and make a garment in a way that's not scary, that's not super technical, just because I found a lot of sort of intro knitting materials to be very daunting, even as someone who'd been doing it for a while. But all that said, it feels hypocritical, because I think I thought, if you had told me 3 years ago that this was all going to happen, I'd be like, great, I'm going to use all my at-home time to, like, you know, knit a million sweaters and, like, you know, write another book and, like, whatever, like, be super creative.
Yeah,
and I have just found it impossible, you guys. Like, I find that I just, like, all I want to do is play video games or just, like, sleep or pet the cat. Like, I just do not find myself wanting to, like, put anything out into the world in any real way.
I get that.
Not to get, so, like, tough. You know, super intense or whatever, but I think it's just been a really hard time to feel creative, so that's why it's been fun to learn a language, like, a thing that I do not have to, like, contribute to or participate in or ideate on. It's just like, no, this is a language that is here and you can learn what you want to of it. So that's been, I think, sort of my impetus for learning Japanese in this time.
That's completely legitimate.
I think it's a good language to learn. As someone who's been to Japan, it's the place that had the least amount of English knowledge of all the places I've ever visited.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like any kind of Japanese knowledge would have been helpful in my journey.
No, totally. I went in October of, I guess, 2019, 2020. I don't even know what years are anymore. Before lockdown, I went that October. And I spoke enough that I could, like, basically be like, can we have the English menus, you know, which was like, you know, embarrassing, yeah. but also was nice to be able to even sort of know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so it's like the next time I go back, whether that's in 5 years or 10 or whatever, I want to be able to have like more conversations than I could have yeah. then.
I packed a pair of cowboy boots and a big 10-gallon hat and just sort of like, I like kicked down every door I went into and I was like, howdy.
Well, and you're quite tall, Tanner. I feel like you would really stand out too.
Where's the Budweiser?
I'll take your finest, whipped cream and strawberry sandwich.
Bud Light. Yeah. yeah.
So you, all your Pokemon are named after Japanese nouns.
I would say, yeah, I think 4 out of 6 are. So, all right, so let's start with my starter. My Empoleon is named Nori, you know, which means seaweed. He's level 45. Pretty much all of them are level 45, actually. I just wanted to, like, get them up to where we wanted them to be.
Yep.
Sneasel is Yami, which means dark, and he's level 45. Rapidash is just Dash. Originally, I named it the name for horse, which is Uma, and that, like, felt really wrong. So I was like, no, just your Dash, whatever.
After the Kardashian store.
Exactly, yep. exactly. Oh, my God. One time, wow. me and my sister were walking through Soho, and we're like, oh, here's, like, a cute store. We should walk in here. And we tried to go in and got disbarred by, like, a giant man, and he was like, you have to wait in the line. And we were like, oh, this is the Kardashian store. There's a line down the block. We did not register any of this. We do not care.
Yeah, no,
we do not want to be in the line. No. Good day, sir. So that's my experience with Dash. May it rest.
No, thank you.
I have a Luxray as well, Josh, who's named Hikari, which means light. And he's also level 45.
Luxrays are a hit this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good. He's just like a solid... I mean, it's also just like... It's kind of rare that you get, like, an early, really solid electric type, and I was just like, cool, whatever, you're part of it.
And I haven't seen, like, a better option, to be honest. I mean, I could breed a Jolteon, and that's my favorite Eon. It's my favorite Eevee.
But it's kind of a pain in the ass to breed any of the Eeveelutions. Like, at that point, it's like you're either filling a hole or, like, you're not doing anything.
Right,
there's no, like, Electabuzz equivalent. Like, there's no just, like... big tough guy who's gonna come out of nowhere halfway through the game.
Right.
Then I have a Gardevoir that's level 45, and I have my Lucario that is level 38.
What's Gardevoir called?
Oh, Gardevoir is Genki, which is basically like if you're asking how someone is, you say like Genki desu ka, and if you're okay, you say like Genki desu. So that's that. And then Lucario is just named Ryo, which is, you know, a take on Riolu or Lucario.
I like that.
Does that have a Japanese translation?
Nope, that's just and likewise with Dash, that is
just a cute little nickname.
Part of the name. Just several syllables from the name.
Joshua, any movement on Bree Van Der's team this week?
No, I wanted to run this iteration of the team, as I already alluded to. I mean, we're going into the end game now, so there will probably be some more changes, but I want to see how Girafarig, which when I was editing the episode last week, I was like, wait a second, there's no way this thing's Girafarig because we're talking about giraffes.
just another experience share mispronunciation.
Mispronunciation, yeah. So I'm running what I had last week to see how this works, but depending on how things go, I think there might be 2 to 3 or more replacements in the coming weeks.
Wow. Just because, like, that's half your team.
Bree's got a lot of interested clients, and we got to make sure that we have, like, a best possible team, obviously.
Yeah.
We got Mitchell, Leafeon, 45, they're all 45, Bonzo, Infernape, Simba, Luxray, Silver, Seraptor, April, Girafarig, Merlion, Vaporeon.
Silver Staraptor has been on your team from the very beginning.
I think
as has that Infernape, but that's not a surprise.
If one of them, other than any of the new ones, recent additions are going to replace, it's probably Staraptor.
Wow. Okay. That's your lifelong friend.
Yeah, well, it's been Staraptor has had a really great time getting battle hardened, but you know, at a certain point you gotta retire a real champion to the stables, you know?
Yep.
And that might happen.
Yep.
Let her
fly free.
Yeah, and
fly free, you beautiful bird.
Yes.
Steve Human.
Who do you got?
Steve Human is a human. He's not a Pokemon trainer, and he's only he's not collecting Pokemon, he's collecting drinking buddies on an epic road trip across Sinnoh. All my Pokemon are level 45. Not a lot of movement. Mr. Coheed, Snorlax, level 45. Ms. Applebaum is the one fun new Pokemon I have.
Roserade?
Roserade! Level 45.
Finally.
Mr. Chuck, Tangrowth, level 45. Ms. Taylor, Licky Licky, level 45. Ms. Poston, Toxicroak, level 45. And welcome back to the team, Mr. Jorgensen.
Oh, wow.
Medicham.
So you couldn't do the Mr. Mime thing any longer.
Mr. Mime was proving very challenging, but also I needed some fighting talent headed into the gym this week. So I spent some time leveling Metatite into Medicham this week. So welcome back to the team, Mr. Jorgensen.
All right.
That's our teams. Now comes the time-honored tradition of pausing the podcast for you, bug catchers, but not for us, so that we can go to Pokemon Showdown and battle for podcast supremacy. Although, Alana, you don't have a podcast, but you are involved in... You work at Vox.
Yeah.
And you are involved in the Vox podcast ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And if we beat you tonight, you do have to hand that podcast over to us.
And vice versa, if you beat us, then you'll have we'll hand this, over the and you can, keys I guess, introduce it
to the
share.
Vox ecosystem. Yeah,
right. To Vox, yeah.
Josh and I will battle first to determine who the champion of Experience Share is, and then the champion of Experience Share will take on Alana Oaken to determine who the God King of Pokemon is.
Round one, fight.
Joshua, thank you for giving me your levels. Alana, thank you for being with us tonight. Just really quickly need to admit something.
Yeah, what do you have to admit, Tanner? You can be honest.
Here's what I have to admit
on the mic.
I'm really bad at podcasting.
It's just us and our thousands of our fans.
I've been doing it semi-professionally for 5-6 years now. Uh-huh. But I don't know how to podcast, and I'm a big dumb idiot, and I'm bad at podcasting. And Alana, you can attest to this.
And I'm sure she would say something right now.
Yeah, I messed up something. We were using a website called Zencastr to get Alana's audio, and I closed the window without downloading any of her audio tracks, and now they're gone forever. So what you've heard up until now has been Alana's backup record on her iPhone, which worked great until...
Right, and that's why it sounds like it sounds.
Yeah.
Which
until
is not great.
She had to switch rooms to charge her computer and left her backup iPhone behind. So luckily it happened with just a few minutes left in the episode. We just had a little trash talk before heading into the battles. And then, of course, the battle recaps and the outro. So not a lot of missed Alana, but a little bit. So,
and now it's become unclear who won any of the battles.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you who won.
And it's unclear whether or not
we did download the
anyone got crushed. And
yeah, we did download the
who owns the IP Pokemon to Experience Share.
Yeah. So we're gonna throw to battle number one right now, which is between me and Josh.
Yeah.
And then we will be back afterwards to tell you who won. And we're back. Josh won. Josh absolutely creamed me. I think as fun and goofy as this team is, all humans, like, it is not a good Pokemon team. Well, and also, like, I've got these, like, big boys who are all normal types who just, like, they suck.
Well, and the issue now is that both Infernape and Staraptor have close combat, which is a 120 damage fighting move. So even though it diminishes their defense and special defense after being used, it doesn't matter because it's a one-hit KO for any of those big boys.
Yeah, I've got three normal types, Snorlax, Tangrowth, and Licky Licky, and then two fighters who are also pretty susceptible to Staraptor and others. So
yeah, plus in this game, the wildest thing was that Girafarig had two critical hit psychics in a row on the Snorlax.
Yeah,
killed it, obliterated
him. He's my lead man, my lead batter, just because he has so many HP and he can really soak up the damage. He knows Toxic, like, he can, you know, he's a good frontline soldier. But your Girafarig really annihilated him. So I got crushed. Onward to the battle between Alana and Josh. Yeah. And we will be back in a moment to let you know how that battle went and see you off. Joshua.
Yeah.
Alana's not here anymore to kind of gloat. Yeah.
Rightfully.
But Alana Oaken is the official rights holder to Experience Share Pokemon Podcast.
Well, and I believe Vox.com.
Yeah, Vox.com.
Experience
it.
Share now, which yeah. is. All right.
They're probably going to cut us loose. They don't need us.
No, put Alana in. We're no good, obviously.
Alana beat you.
Crushing defeat.
Handily beat you.
We do have the replays, fortunately.
Yep.
And watching this, 27 turns, just like brutal.
How many of her Pokemon did you take out?
Two.
And she just wiped the floor with you.
Yeah.
There were some pretty big notable moves that happened.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, there was one brutal sunny day. You dropped a sunny day.
Yeah, I had a sunny day that really backfired on me.
Who did she have in at that moment?
So Leafeon used sunny day because I was trying to make synthesis more effective. But right. then she just swapped in fucking Rapidash.
Yeah, and destroyed you.
And immediately just like ran roughshod over like everyone. <Yep. laughs> And then I brought in Infernape to just be like, all right, well, we're both going to have enhanced fire moves. And the issue was that Infernape was using Flamethrower, but Rapidash knew Strength.
Right.
And then
the rest was history.
That was just actually effective. So
big swing in Alana's favor was her Gardevoir, Genki, went face-to-face with your Leafeon.
Or Vaporeon, actually.
Vaporeon, right. Yeah. And you didn't think anything could possibly go wrong there, but her
right.
Gardevoir knows
Magical Leaf.
Magical Leaf, which just shoot. It's a grass
That's new
move.
To me.
So
yeah.
it took out your Vaporeon.
That was a fucking disaster.
Like a hit, so. And then you got frozen. One lucky swing for you was you got frozen and her Empoleon, who's just like a boss hog out there.
Impossible to kill that thing.
Froze your...
I think it was Luxray.
Oh, was it? And you immediately unfroze, which is super lucky, but it didn't matter. At that point, Alana had the momentum to just carry through. So, Alana, you're no longer here with us because it's now 3 days later. We're just recording some pickup audio, but... Congratulations on the crushing defeat, and congratulations for being the grand champion of Experience Share, a Pokemon podcast.
Yep.
Please don't let your benefactors at Vox mess up the formula.
Yeah.
Tell them to keep us around. Maybe give us a small stipend.
I would love a little cut of the ad revenue, but you know, I'll take just being a host still.
Right.
I'll settle for just
and a stipend.
Being the host.
I'll settle for being a host and a stipend. So.
Yeah.
Joshua, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Once again.
Alana, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining both of us tonight. My name has been
We had a blast. And we had like a very fun conclusion to the episode. Despite the crushing blow, we all came together and we had a great time. And in the original audio, we loved having Alana on. I'm sure she'd say the same right now.
Yep, I'm sure she would.
And
she's not here to
promo herself.
Yeah, she's Alana's not here to shout out her plugs, but follow her on Twitter.
Yeah,
at Alana, she got the very lucrative at Alana Twitter handle.
Yeah, we had some banter about that, and that was because
she's got a lot of followers.
Former place we all worked.
Yeah,
there was a moment in time when they were bringing everyone into getting verified other than me because I was on the business side. So yeah. I didn't get the fucking check mark.
I've got it.
But all of you did. Yeah. And Alana not only got the check mark, but she was able to get A-L-A-N-N-A.
Yep.
Just straight up
green
on
ring.
Twitter.
They like gave me green ring. They took it from someone.
Someone had that. Yeah. I thought you said you made it up. So was that
the T
green ring
name,
who got
but...
the...
Yeah.
Low punny.
Check out Alana's work over at The Goods.
Yes.
The Vox shopping vertical.
Which I think is just vox.com/The Goods.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then buy her books. She's got two great books about knitting. The first is called The Curse of the Boyfriend Sweater, which came out a couple years ago. And then just recently, she released a new book called Knit a Hat.
Yes.
Alana, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll have her back because I need a redemption. Both of us need a redemption. Yeah.
Josh, thank you for joining me. Butt Catchers, thank you for joining us. My name is Ben Snoring, a.k.a. Tanner Greenring, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Glaciash. And once again, thank you to Alonix / Professor Oaken for joining us.
Yeah.
This has been Experience Share Pokemon Podcast. Please do rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and do follow it everywhere that you follow podcasts. And follow us on social media, too. At EXPSharePod
and
on Twitter and Instagram.
Check out the Reddit, the subreddit, reddit.com/r/bugcatchers.
That's it.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Smell you later.